This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with the New World Report. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombian legislature, she's in Cartagena. And we're discussing the disorder in Peru and the bombing of a Colombia military barracks in Colombia by unknown actors. However, significantly, the ELN, a terrorist organization, is commenting in any fashion that it didn't do it. That's always suggestible. However, there is a military operation underway now that no one's denying, but we don't know the end of it. There are two warships, Iranian Navy warships, making their way in some fashion through the South Atlantic. The Iranian Navy says in a briefing that was on Iran TV that they're headed to the Caribbean, to the Mediterranean. The question is, does that Mediterranean voyage immediately become the Caribbean voyage? Are they headed to Havana, for example? Are they headed to Venezuela, for example? Joseph, you've followed this story from the beginning. You know the report says that there are fast attack ships on the deck of one of the warships, a converted oil tanker. We can only speculate what's inside the ship. However, it's heavily laden, and we can presume it's with gasoline. Iran has shipped gasoline to Venezuela before because of the collapse of the technology in Venezuela to process its oil. What does this mean for the region, Joseph? We've watched this in slow motion. Now that Iran has elected a hardliner as president, does this threaten Latin America in some fashion to have those new warships if they come into Caribbean waters?
Yes, John, I think, first with the warships, I think it's important to note that regardless of what the Iranian regime is going to try to say or spin or use propaganda to try to say that the warships were never going to Venezuela, they were always intended to go to the Mediterranean or to Syria, that's just not the case. There was very credible information early on in May that these warships were destined for Venezuela. There was also important signaling done by the Defense Department here in the U.S. and our partners in Latin America that had understood that this was the eventual destination. But this is a transatlantic voyage that the Iranian Navy has never done. So if they are changing course, and there is some science to suggest that Politico reported this last week, if they are changing course and now heading toward the Mediterranean, I think it's one of two things. It's either because, they received a significant amount of pressure from the international community to let them know that this is a red line and that you cannot bring your warships into the Caribbean, because that would be a precedent that the United States and our allies would not accept. Or B, that their ships simply can't make that voyage. And that was always a concern, because despite Iran's propaganda around the capabilities of their warships, the truth is they just don't have a very strong tradition of having a blue water navy. So I wouldn't be surprised if they calculated and said, wow, we might not be able to make this voyage, and so they're going to have a safer trip along the coast of Africa. Still a circumnavigation, but not quite the same thing. But second to your point, John, I mean, I don't think this is going to stop. If they don't make it this time to Venezuela, they're going to try again and again and again, because this is a next move that Iran has been preparing for many, many years. And what the move is specifically intended to do is intended to create an active operational military presence in the Western Hemisphere. They've had a latent operational presence for many years. They've had a covert presence for a long time, but they want to take the covert to the overt and the latent to the active. And I think that these warships were designed to do that. Now, they might not make it in this specific voyage, but I believe they're going to try again.
Senator, your trip to Washington and your conversations with members of the U.S. government and Congress, did it include comment on these warships and the threat to your country, in particular into the region? And did you learn more about these, about what the U.S. capability is if these warships head to Venezuela waters?
Well, we have been aware of the news regarding these two warships. Then afterwards, we read that there is one and not two. We have been hearing the spokesperson from the Pentagon. They were not giving much information except that they are monitoring what is happening because presumably it is full of weapons. And if it is so, remember all what has been happening in Venezuela and Colombian border. All these disputes among the two factions of the FARC that didn't sign the peace accord and that they keep illegal, and also working and fighting with the Venezuelan army and the Bolivarian National Guard, all because they dispute the narcotraffic routes. And this affects all the people that lives nearby the frontier, the peasants, the indigenous people. At the end is the control that this dictatorship Maduro, working with all these illegal groups, ELN, FARC, Hezbollah, also Russian mercenaries training the military of Venezuela. All this is a horrible mixture that threat our national security and threat the region national, the region security. So we are aware, we don't have much information, nor even from our authorities. We're expecting what is going to happen, and we expect that all these strength the relation with the U.S., despite that the, you know, all the dispute among Republican and Democrats in the U.S., we have to work with both parties. It's a bipartisan policy, and what we said in our visit is that we need every effort that the U.S. do to protect us.
Joseph, I come to you with a Bloomberg report in these last days. President Joe Biden's administration rejected Nicolas Maduro's call for relief from U.S. sanctions, saying the Venezuelan leader needs to do more toward restoring democracy before penalties would be lifted. Responding to Maduro's statements, a State Department spokesman said a U.S. policy shift would require major changes by the Venezuela president. I note also that in other news, the Venezuela president, Mr. Maduro, is accusing the U.S. of subjecting his country to an economic massacre. Well, both sides have made their position clear. The U.S. wants a change of governance in Venezuela. Venezuela is pointing to the U.S. as the cause for the deprivations of the Venezuela people. What does the rest of Latin America hear, Joseph, about this, this spitting match between Washington and Caracas?
I think the problem we have, John, is that the rest of Latin America is watching the United States very closely to see if it's going to signal any strong moves against the Maduro regime. And so far, we haven't seen any. Now, to the credit of the Biden administration, we also haven't seen them drastically revert course of the previous administration's policy on pressuring the regime. They haven't lifted the sanctions, or they haven't done anything to recognize the Maduro regime. But that said, they also haven't come up with their own strategy. And I think the rest of Latin America is looking to the United States to see what they're going to do. Mr. Maduro is not going to wait. He's already gone on certain U.S. media outlets such as Bloomberg and started to try to delegitimize the use of sanctions. This is an effort they've been doing for a long time in conjunction with their allies such as Russia, Iran, and others. And they call it unilateral coercive measures. That's the term that they're using, and they're amplifying that false narrative all throughout the international community, mainly with the United Nations, but also they recently held a big meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, prior to the meeting between Putin and Vladimir Putin and President Biden. So I think that there's going to be a strong push in the next weeks and months to come by the Maduro regime leading to the UN General Assembly in September to be able to lift the sanctions, the U.S. sanctions against the Maduro regime, and also to delegitimize the use of sanctions in general so that we wouldn't be able to apply them as effectively in the future. So I think this is just the beginning of more rhetoric coming from the Maduro regime, and the Biden administration is running out of time to present its strategy on Venezuela.
The virus. I was too quick about the virus in Peru. And Maria, I check on the virus in Colombia. The reason I bring attention to it is this report from ESPN. Half of the teams playing the Copa America have reported coronavirus cases, with Venezuela, Bolivia, Colombia, Peru, and Chile confirming at least one positive test in the teams. CONMEBOL said cases of people with COVID-19 at the Copa America in Brazil have risen to 65, a rise from the number of known infections of 53 just last week. Brazil stepped in late as an emergency host, despite the country having the second highest number of recorded deaths from the virus in the world. Also, the Bolivian Football Association said two players had tested positive. Maria, is the virus in Colombia getting worse now as winter coming on? And how is the vaccine program? If the superstar soccer players get positive, how is the Colombia public doing?
We are having exactly the worst moment since COVID appeared. Yesterday, 600 people died. We are rising 100,000 deaths among 4 million infected. Apparently, some cities get not in complete quarantine, but at least in some hours of closing the city. And other cities are not doing that anymore because the economy is completely broke down. However, any kind of measure taken has helped to drop the numbers of people dying by COVID. This is terrible. This is a disaster. We are getting a vaccination quickly. We're moving on. We are vaccinating 1 million people, 300,000 people per day, around 400,000 per day. So it means that we are moving very quickly to get at least the 70% of our population vaccinated, I think, in the next 2 months. So we are not doing bad with vaccination. We are doing good. However, you know that this disease has a strange behavior. Some people doesn't get any symptom, and other people, even the youth, are dying in 1 or 2 weeks.
I'm speaking with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She's in Cartagena. Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, he's in Washington area. We're going to Mexico when we come back, and a positive story about Mexico. A good place to live for Americans, for Central Americans, for South Americans. Mexico. This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, Go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's Product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.